Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special. Appreciate the truth of the words of that song this morning and the fact that God's ways are far higher than ours. And there are times that we'd rather him move that mountain. And he says, I want you to climb that mountain because I've got something to teach you through that. And so praise the Lord for that special this morning. And I trust that the Lord has already worked in your heart this morning, being in God's house. And so good to see you this morning. We mentioned in our Sunday school hour, we're thankful for the sunshine today. And what a beautiful day the Lord has given to us. For February, everything in perspective, right? And it's supposed to get up to, I think, almost to 50 degrees today. So we got a heat wave coming in, so praise the Lord for that. And I'm so glad you're able to be here this morning. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to take it and turn to James in chapter 1 this morning. James in chapter 1. And we're continuing where we left off last week in the book of James. And we've been going through this first chapter, verse by verse there, and one of the themes of the book of James, especially chapter 1, is the difficult times of life, dealing with the trials. And of course, last week we talked about in the midst of the difficult times of life, Satan comes along with a temptation to sin, to stray from God. He often attacks us where we are mentally weakest, physically weakest, sometimes spiritually and emotionally weak. He comes in and he plants a seed of doubt. And so we looked at that last week. We said this, that Satan can't make me do anything. He desires to make me stumble, but I have to choose that. And this morning we're going to continue there in verse 17. So if you found your place, I invite you, if you're able to, stand this morning. James chapter 1, verses 17 and verse 18. We'll take our text from these two verses this morning. Knowing what all has taken place, knowing that we are going to deal with difficulties. James gives us this reminder in verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And he cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. I love that. He talks about the gospel there. And how when we heard the gospel preached, when we heard the death, burial, and resurrection preached, and we accepted the gospel, he begat us. We became his children. Of his own will, he begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And as James is addressing these folks, and as he's addressing us this morning, we are going to go through hard times. And yet, the simple title of this message this morning, God is good even in difficulties. Even as we go through the difficulties of this life, even as we go through the trials of this life, God is still good. And God is only good because that's who God is. Lord, as we come before you today, we're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful for the reminder of this passage, the truth that is given to us here this morning, that you are good. Regardless of what we may presently find ourselves in, regardless of our circumstances, Lord, we can always see, if we're saved, we can always see your hand of blessing upon us. And I pray that you'd help us to see that in the passage this morning. I pray for those that have gathered here today. Lord, I don't know what everyone is dealing with. And yet, Lord, I realize this, we're all carrying some type of a burden, some type of an affliction. Lord, you desire to help us to see you at work in the midst of our difficulty. So I pray that you'd help us now this morning. Be with me as I speak, Lord. I need you. And I pray for everyone that is here that will listen, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts and do that work that you desire to do. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I think one of the things that we understand as we live this life, sometimes our mind can play tricks on us. Maybe something that we see really, it appears differently than what it really is. I remember a few years ago, a picture of a dress went viral on the internet. And the question was, what color do you see when you see this dress? Anybody remember that? How many remember that? There was a dress and it was going through social media and some people saw the dress and they said, the color of that dress is black and blue. Others people saw it white and gold. I'm sure there's a science behind, you know, how people looked at that, but it began to circulate around the internet, and I'm not kidding, I remember looking, I had my phone there, and I showed the picture of the dress to my wife, and I said, what color do you see? And she saw one color, and I said, no, I don't see that color at all. I see something completely different. I'm not going to tell you who was wrong and who was right, But we saw two different things looking at the same picture. The actual color of the dress was found out to be black and blue. However, in an online poll, 72% saw that it was white and gold. Almost three quarters of the people that looked at that saw something different than what was really there. And the truth is this morning, the reason I share that story is that sometimes our perception of things doesn't match reality. Especially when we go through difficult times. And if we're not careful, listen, this morning we can rely on how we feel in that moment. What our feelings are rather than relying on fact, which the idea behind fact that we're looking at this morning is biblical truth. You see, the danger is that we would live this Christian life based upon how we're feeling. How many of you realize this morning our feelings can change? Go through a difficulty. Your feeling maybe today was changed based upon the weather outside. When we get up and there's sunshine out, praise the Lord for that. Especially when all we've seen is gray skies for the last 3 or 4 months, it feels like. Just dealt with 5-degree weather earlier this week, and who knows what even happened on Wednesday. I don't even know what that was. It was rain and snow and all kinds of things that took place here. And so our feelings sometimes can fluctuate. And yet we ought to live a life based upon biblical truth or facts. As we go through difficulty, sometimes we struggle to see God at work. So we're in the midst of a trial. We may have this question, God, I really don't see you in this. Are you there? And listen, this morning, the fact and the biblical truth that we find here in the Scriptures is this: for the Christian, God is always at work. God is using those mountains that was sung about this morning for us to climb, to teach us the faith. Listen, just because you're in a trial does not mean God is not at work in your life this morning. And so we live based sometimes on feeling, the idea of feeling. Sometimes it seems as though God has forgotten about me. Why? Because I'm struggling. I'm going through a hard time right now, and God, do you remember where I'm at? Listen, can I tell you, the devil desires that you would live by feeling. I don't feel like serving the Lord today. I don't feel like much like honoring Him today because I'm dealing with this problem. I don't feel like fighting, and the devil desires that you would live by feeling. Can I tell you, the Christian ought to live by faith. Trusting biblical truth, biblical fact that we see in the Word of God. In fact, we read this last week, but the Bible says there in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's biblical truth right there. As you go through a difficulty, God is working through that difficulty. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The idea behind trials is God brings with those trials spiritual maturity. Biblical truth tells me God is working in the midst of my difficulty. My feelings may tell me, listen, I think God has forgotten about me. Maybe I'm just not living right, or maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing here, but something's going on. And listen, can I help you understand this morning, as we go through difficulties, we must live by faith. Live by the biblical truth that is found in God's Word. And so here in this passage, it certainly seems that the people to whom James is writing, that some of them may have somewhat felt maybe abandoned by God. We mentioned this before, that they had been scattered from their homeland. Persecution had come in, and listen, they were trying to serve God, and God allowed persecution to come in to drive them out, really for the spread of the gospel. But it seems like some of them may have had the attitude, I wonder where God is in my circumstances. And James writes to them, and he urges them to put their faith into action. In fact, the rest of chapter 1, as we study over, you're going to find that James calls these people to live a life of faith. Can I tell you this morning, living a life of faith relies on biblical truth. The idea that God loves me and is doing what's best for me in this moment. Amen. It may be a difficulty. But listen, living by faith, it relies on biblical fact that God is working in my circumstances. You know, the truth is, this morning, it's easy to say that we have faith. In fact, in the culture that we live in, it's somewhat acceptable for people to say, well, I believe God. I believe who God is. And oftentimes you'll hear an athlete or maybe someone in Hollywood say, I want to thank God for this or that. Listen, it's acceptable to live or say we live by faith. But it's another thing altogether to actually put one foot in front of the other and live a life that shows we're truly living by faith. And so this morning, listen, understand this. Trials are an opportunity for us to exercise our faith. And James points us here in this passage to have enough faith to see God for who He is and what He's doing in the midst of the trial. I want you to see the first thing. James points us to three things here in this passage that we need to have faith. First of all, we need to have faith to see the gifts of God in our life. Faith to see the blessings that God places in our life. And so James points us to the gifts that God gives us. The daily blessings of God in our life. He says there in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I love that thought. Understand this morning, anything good you have in your life, if you're saved today, comes from God. He's placed it all in your life. I just got to tell you, as we go through trials, we're tempted to sometimes think, well, God's really not that good because I'm going through a difficult time. Can I tell you, even in your trial, you can look around and see God's blessings. You can see all that God has done for you, how He's provided for you in one area. And yes, you may be struggling, but you can still see God's goodness. Listen, James uses the word gift twice in this passage, and he's really talking about two different things here. He says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Notice, first of all, he speaks of the nature of God here in this passage, in the gifts that he gives. The nature of God's gifts are that they are always good. We must understand this morning that God is good no matter what. One of Satan's tactics, though, is to distract you from God's goodness. And again, as we mentioned last week, as we're going through a difficulty and we are maybe physically weak or mentally weak, the devil comes to us and he begins to whisper in our ears, I thought you said your God was good. I thought you said your God was going to go provide for you in this circumstance, but where is your God now? Listen, I want you to understand, Satan desires to distract you from the goodness of God in your life. Come in this morning and you're carrying burdens and you may come around other Christians and say, well, I see they're joyful, I just don't understand. And I wish I was joyful, but I just don't have anything going in my life because we're living a life of feeling when in actuality we begin to look around and see all that God is doing in our lives. He says, listen, the nature of God is that God desires to give you good gifts. I want to encourage you this morning, if you are saved today, you fully know the generosity of God. Some 2,000 years ago, the Bible says that God sent forth His Son. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 that He was made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Listen, God has given to you salvation first and foremost. What a great blessing to understand that I don't have to pay for my sins, that I'm headed towards heaven because of God's goodness and His work in my life. But beyond salvation, every other good thing that we have in our life, it comes from God. He says it comes from above, every good gift and every perfect gift. Can I remind you this morning, there are no self-made people. You know, we live in a country, and praise the Lord, for the free markets of America. The idea behind the American dream is that someone can come here and they can integrate here into the life here in the U.S. and they can make something of themselves. Can I remind you this morning that none of us have made something of ourselves outside of God allowing a work in our lives? Listen, God gave you a brain that functions. He gave you a work ethic, the ability to reason, a skill set of some sort in your life to be able to make you maybe to work with your hands or to give you a mind that has the ability to do something or some type of a gift that enables you to work. If you're here this morning, God has given you the health to get out of bed. the wisdom to appropriate money. Listen, if you have money in the bank, if you have savings, God has given you the wisdom and the means to be able to appropriate that money. And what if I want you to understand, listen, this morning, it's all from God. Sometimes we become so focused on what is right in front of us. The problem that I'm dealing with, and Satan says, where is God? I thought God was good. Can I tell you, regardless of what your circumstances are this morning, God is good. He speaks to the nature of God. And then he speaks to the ability of God and his giving. He says it's a good gift. That's God's nature. He is good. And every perfect gift. God's ability to give. Can I tell you this morning that God gives perfectly? The blessings that I have in my life have been tailor-made for me. I think about the marriage and my wife. She's been tailor-made for me to compensate for all of my weaknesses. And boy, does she help me out. You probably shouldn't have said that. It didn't come across the greatest. She's a great blessing to me. The children that God has placed in our home, tailor-made for me, sometimes too perfectly. Sometimes they match the personality of their dad just a little bit too much. Listen, all of the blessings of God, tailor-made for you. God gives perfectly. Even the trials that you have been perfectly made for you. Sometimes we miss that thought. God, please remove this from me. Instead of praying, God, do the work that you desire to do in my life because of this. Listen, the idea of the trial, it's been perfectly tailored to you to grow you into spiritual maturity. That's the goal. The goal of your difficulty is trying to point you into the spiritual maturity. And so this morning, may we not let the devil distract us from God's goodness. Just because we're in the midst of a difficulty today, have faith to see God's goodness through his gifts of blessing in your life. Can I tell you this morning, if you're going through a hard time right now, a good practice would be to get out a pen and paper and just begin recording God's blessings in your life. The gifts of God. He says the first thing I want you to see this morning is have enough faith to see the goodness of God in the gifts that he's given to you. And then he points us not only to the gifts, but to the giver. Notice what he says there in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Yes, we see the blessings, but then he points us to God himself. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He says, listen, the gifts, they come from someone. They come from God. And he begins to give us a description of God. First of all, he helps us understand that the giver is the creator God. Did you see that there in verse 17? The gifts, they come down from the Father of lights. Speaks to his role in creation. Specifically this morning, his ability and his power to create all that we see here with the spoken word. That's incredible power this morning. He says, that is who your God is. As you go through difficulty, understand, listen, first of all, it'll help you if you'll look around and see his gifts. But it'll help you even greater if you understand where those gifts come from. The ability of your Father, the power that he has to work on your behalf. I love this thought. Faith in God. Faith in who he is will lead you by prayer into the throne room of the creator of the universe. Think about that this morning. Understanding who God is, understanding his ability and his power, faith in that God will lead you by prayer into the throne room of the creator of the universe. Listen, that ought to get you a little excited this morning. You find yourself in a difficulty, can I tell you, God is there for you. God has unlimited power and unlimited ability. How do we know that? We just look at his role in creation. I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 3 this morning. Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3 has become one of my favorite psalms in this book and certainly one of my favorite passages in the scripture. David here in the book of Psalm, he's especially in Psalm 3, is dealing with some problems. His kingdom has been overtaken by his son, and now his son is seeking him out to kill him. You imagine, I mean, most of us, we have certainly a relationship within our family, but the idea of a son turning on you so much that they would want to kill you. And you talk about problems. David's dealing with it right now. He says in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He says, Lord, everywhere I look, I see enemies all around. Then look at verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. He says, listen, as though my problems aren't enough, along comes, and I truly believe he's dealing with a spiritual foe, the devil, who comes to him and says, look around, you've lost everything. You don't even have God's help on your behalf. He says, many have come to me and said, even God can't help you in your situation. I tell you, it's what the devil does in our time of difficulty. He comes and says, well, God can help them, but he can't help you. Many there be which say, my soul, there is no help for him in God. But David, not relying on feeling, but relying on fact, what he had received from God, he says this in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Feeling causes me to believe that God is not in my circumstances. Feeling causes me to believe that maybe God just isn't willing to help me in what I'm going through. Fact tells me that God is right there. He goes on to say, he says in verse 4, I love this, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. One of the great blessings for the Christian is to know that when I fall on my face before God Almighty, his ears are open to my prayers. His ability there is to help me and to lead me through that time of difficulty. And then I love verse 5. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I can keep moving forward in this life because I know God. I know the giver, specifically the power of God. He's the creator God that James helps us understand. Listen, not only do we see the gifts of God, but we see God for who he is. We see God in his power. He's the creator God. He's the unchanged God. Go back to James in chapter 1 this morning. He says there in verse 17, it cometh down for the Father of lights. But note this, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what that tells me? The God of creation is the same God that I serve today. Amen. And I look through the stories of God's Word. There's incredible stories in God's Word, isn't there? God's power on display. I mean, I love the Old Testament and the stories of how God intervenes in miraculous ways and how God takes care of his people and he meets needs and he causes miracles to happen. You look in the New Testament, you see the apostles and how God empowered them and how God strengthened them to do his work. And I want you to understand today, that same God has not changed. He's unlimited in power. There's no variableness. There's neither shadow of turning. Listen, I love this. God can only be good because that's who he is. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, he cannot change for the worse because he's holy. He cannot change for the better because he is already perfect. That's the God that you serve. That's the help in your time of difficulty this morning. And yet the problem is that too often we compare God to ourselves. Because I change constantly. My moods change. My feelings change. My feelings about other people change. They did me wrong, and all of a sudden my feelings about them change. You see, we find out though, God is not like that. There's no variableness. There's not a shadow of turning. God is perfect. God does not change. And we find that the giver, listen, he only has our best in mind all the time. Well, what if I fail him? Well, yes, he's going to send possibly a trial or a punishment. Can I tell you, even in that, your best he has in mind. To help to point your face back to him, to restore you from that which you have done wrong. Listen, don't question his love or doubt his goodness when difficulties come or temptations appear. We must know by faith not only is God good in the gifts that he gives and the blessings that he gives, but we also understand who God is. And so James points us, first of all, to the gifts. And then he points us to the giver of the gifts, which is incredible when you think about God and his ability. And then finally, he says this. As if that's not enough, he points us to the gospel and how it's already changed our life. The ability of God in the gospel to take you from what you were to where you are now. In God's ability to, listen, quite frankly, work in the difficulties of this life. And he says, if you need further proof that God is working on your behalf, look at what he's already done in the gospel. I love this. Verse 18. The first thought there is, faith changes our position. Faith in God changes our position. Look what he says in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. When the gospel was preached, when we received the gospel, God took us from being a slave to sin, a slave to this world, to being the Son of God. And as the Son of God, an heir to all that is God's. He says that's what God has already done in your life. He's changed your position. We don't have time to turn there, but Galatians chapter 4. In fact, let me just read part of this for you because I think it's something that we must understand and see our lives. Look it up, write it down, look it up later. He says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And then he says in verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. He says that's where you used to be. If you're saved today, there was a time in which you were in bondage to sin, under the elements of the world. Listen, every one of us as Christians remember that time. We remember the conviction of our sin that nothing I could do could fix this. God came in and began to convict your heart of that which you had done wrong. And he said, you can't fix it, but I can. Amen. He said, but verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that ye might receive the adoption of sons. Your position changed. That word adoption is an incredible thought. Taking someone who's in a difficult situation and taking them and placing them into my family and loving them like God would love them. Listen, can I tell you that's exactly what God has done for us? We don't deserve to be a part of God's family, but he loves us. And in faith, we heard the gospel preached and we accepted the word of God and he took us and he placed us in his family, and he loves us as he would love his only son. What a wonderful thought this morning. On your most difficult day, your faith in God is a reminder of who you are in Christ, of the work that he's done in your life. Not only that, but James helps us understand, listen, this was not a man-made initiative. This was God's plan all along. It's not as though we had to go to God and convince him, Lord, would you please send your son to this earth? We've come up with this plan of salvation. I know it's a difficult process, but would you please do that? No, it's not a man-made initiative. God says, it's my will. He willingly sent his son to this earth to die on the cross. Jesus willingly came to this earth to die on the cross to redeem you of your sins. It's an incredible thought there. The gospel. Faith changes our position. Listen, you're struggling this morning? Go back and look to the day of your salvation. And what God did for you in salvation and changing your position, the Bible says it came to us by the word of truth. But I love this next thought that he gives us. Not only does faith change our position, but faith changes our disposition. You see that in verse 18? He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That's my positional change, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That my disposition would change. When I get saved, there ought to be a change that takes place inside of me. Amen. Listen, before I was saved, I dealt with hard times and difficulties. And I didn't do so well with them. But after I'm saved, I begin to realize that God is working through those difficulties and through those hard times. And I, quite frankly, ought to face those things a whole lot better as a saved person than I did as a lost person. Faith in God allows the process of spiritual maturity to take place in my life through trials. That's what faith in God does. It started in the gospel. It allows me to become like Christ. A process of spiritual transformation begins to take place the day you were saved and continues on through the Christian life, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Listen, can I tell you, the goal of the Christian life is that God would spiritually mature us through difficulties so that we might arrive at the conclusion that's found in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28. I want to turn over there real quick and let me just read it for you this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The process that God is working through your life right now, as you go through difficulties, he's trying to get you to the point of understanding in verse 28. We know, based upon biblical truth, not based upon our feeling, but we have biblical knowledge. We know that all things work together for good. Even the difficulties. I may not feel like it, but biblical truth, fact, living by faith, tells me that all things that God is doing in my life, they work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then he goes on to say this: for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What did he predestinate us? He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. That process of spiritual transformation that begins at the gospel and weaves us through as we live the Christian life. Listen, the trials, the difficulties, they're conforming me into the image of Christ. He goes on to say there in verse 29 that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Similar language to what we see there in James in chapter 1. And then he says this: moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. I love this because, listen, can I tell you, every person has been created to be conformed to the image of God's Son. When you were born, when God gave you life here on this earth, God's idea was that you would get saved one of these days. And then he begins to call you to himself. He will not force himself upon you, but he will call you. And he predestinates everyone to be saved. Listen, but he gives you a free choice in salvation. And some choose to refuse salvation. But those that are called and those that receive the word of God, the Bible says, whom he called, them he also justified. I love the thought of justification. That God chooses to look at me as though I am sinless. He trades my righteousness, which the Bible says is as filthy rags, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, sinless righteousness. He says, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Speaking of our future, I tell you, as you go through difficult times, understanding the process that you're going through right now, that started at the gospel of hearing of your salvation and receiving salvation, and goes through this life, which will eventually lead you to future glory in heaven, if we're focused on the work that God is doing through the gospel in our lives, boy, that'll help us as we go through difficulty. God, I'm dealing with a rough time, but I understand all that you're trying to do, but I also further understand that one of these days I'm going to spend eternity with you in heaven. Listen, in verse 31, I love this, Romans 8. Then he says this, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The trials? Listen, if God's for you, they're not going to overtake you. And God is for you, because biblical truth tells us that. Satan himself, he cannot overtake you. He can't steal God's blessings from your life. He can't steal your salvation from you. All he can do is try to tempt you to sin, to turn away from God. But he can't even make you sin. If God be for us, who can be against us? The idea of the difficulties that I go through, it's so that I might spiritually mature to the place that I can impact and help other people. As the truth is, this morning I realized that God has placed 4 children into my home. They need to see me go through some difficulty. But they need to see me go through some difficulty with my eyes on God in faith, not wavering. Because I will speak volumes to them as they grow up trying to establish their own faith in God. Listen, I tell you, in difficulty, Satan causes you to doubt God's goodness. He says, live by feeling. You might get up out of bed tomorrow morning, you may not feel saved. Living by biblical faith understands biblical truth, that I am kept by the power of God. You know, sometimes in difficulty, our perspective is a little off. It gets a little skewed. And Satan comes along telling us that God has abandoned us. I tell you this morning, a pilot in training, one of the things a pilot has to do as he's in training is learn to trust his instruments. How does he learn to trust his instruments? Well, he proves them first and foremost. There, before he ever takes off, he checks the gauges, checks all the points in that plane to make sure everything as is it should be. Because the problem is, when you get up in the air, your perspective gets a little off. He might get into some clouds, and he certainly, when he takes off, can't see his destination. And so those instruments have to tell him where he's going. He can't trust how he's feeling in that flight. And well, if I'm headed to my destination and my instruments tell me it's this way, but my feeling tells me that my destination is this way. Listen, I tell you, he's in for a lot of problems if he lives by feeling. He must trust his instruments. He trusts those instruments because he's already proven them. And by trusting those instruments, can I tell you, if those instruments are right, they're going to lead him to where he needs to be. I tell you this morning, a Christian living the Christian life must in the same way trust God. Trust that he is working on our behalf. Exercise faith in God, knowing that God is good, even though sometimes my circumstances aren't. Know that God is working, even though sometimes it feels like God may not be in this situation. Biblical truth, biblical fact helps me to understand that God is working. Because sometimes our perspective is off. Sometimes we don't see him in the midst of what we're dealing with. Sometimes our perception doesn't match reality. And therefore, we have to, in those moments, live by faith. And James points us this morning to help us that faith will lead you to recognize, first of all, God's blessings in your life. Yeah, we are. I mean, we're in the midst of a trial, and we don't see anything good, and then faith opens our eyes to everything good that God's placed in our lives. Not only that, faith points us to God and his power and his ability to lead me through this difficulty, to work on my behalf. Because if he created the world 6 days with the spoken word, what can he do to those problems that I have? And then faith leads us to recognize how he's working through our trial. Begins at salvation, and that transformational process that takes place in the Christian life that leads us eventually to our future glorification in heaven. James says, listen, don't live by feeling, live by faith. In other words, listen, have enough faith to understand that God is good, even in difficulties. If I could ever, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. God is good, even in difficulties. Could be that Satan has come to you and distracted you from God's goodness. And maybe you just needed a reminder this morning. Maybe there's someone and you're in the midst of a trial, and while in the midst of it, you're going through it. I tell you that God has the help that you have need of. There may be someone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I tell you that the first step to victory is looking to the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how He uses it in my life. And this morning, I want to encourage you today. There's a decision that needs to be made. The altars are open this morning. Lord, as we come before You today, we're so thankful for who You are. Lord, we're thankful that even in the midst of our difficulties, Lord, as children of God, You are working on our behalf. Lord, I don't know how You may have used this in our hearts and our lives this morning, Lord, but I pray that You would do the work that You desire to do. Lord, we love You and we thank You for these things. In Your name I pray, amen.